Welcome to the Summer of Peace, a free global online event designed to help you find inner peace and to take inspired action. The Summer of Peace is a production of the Shift Network, and this 11 Days of Global Unity Summit is co-produced with We the World. During this summit, you're going to hear profound dialogues with visionary leaders such as Deepak Chopra, Eve Ensler, and Patch Adams on each of the 11 ways to change the world, including interdependence, environment, economic justice, women, health, human rights, and peace. We're so grateful that you're here. Please do share your questions or insights on www.facebook.com/shiftnetwork. And now, your host for this call, Rick Ulfick, founder of We the World and the We Campaign.
Welcome to the 11 Days of Global Unity Telesummit 2015, a collaboration of We the World and the Shift Network and part of the Summer of Peace, which is a production of the Shift Network. I'm Rick Ulfick, founder of We the World and the We Campaign at we.net. Today we're so excited that grandmother Agnes Pilgrim and Carol Hart are joining us. We will be exploring theme number 2 of the 11 themes for change, interdependence. We will be looking at the profound interconnections of all life on Mother Earth. We'll talk about the issue of water. We'll talk about the film For the Next 7 Generations, The 13 Indigenous Grandmothers, which features Grandmother Agnes, and find out what the grandmothers are doing now. We'll look at the role our monetary system plays in the current social, environmental, and spiritual crisis. And we'll look at how we can create a shift in our culture so we can live in peace with ourselves and with Mother Earth. Grandmother Agnes Pilgrim is the oldest living member of her tribe, the Takelma Indians, originally from southern Oregon. Agnes is a world-renowned spiritual leader, keeper of the sacred salmon ceremony. Carol Hart is a producer and writer, best known for Sesame Street and Free to Be You and Me. She produced the feature documentary called For the Next 7 Generations, the story of 13 indigenous women from around the world who came together to share their sacred wisdom and earth-based traditions to light the path for us to a sustainable world. Welcome to the 11 Days of Global Unity Telesummit, Grandmother Agnes Pilgrim and Carol Hart.
Yes, thank you.
Grandmother Agnes, could you please lead us in a welcome prayer to start our conversation?
Yes, thank you, Rick. Bless you, world out there. Join me in talking to the beloved Creator, the Creator of all, the Creator, the great mystery, great Spirit, God. Grandfather, we come to you today with our hearts wide open for you to be able to give us the words that people need to hear. Be with us, to help the world that sustained us up to this moment. That we need the help of all people so that we can all live on this planet. And may the word love be in our hearts and in our minds, because I believe love is all there is. Pray with me that we can continue to have freedom in our world and the love in our life and in our minds and hearts so that we can share it with others. Grandpa, to be with us every moment, every day. Go before us and guide us and help us. Give us the words that we need to say here today. We are all from you. You are our beloved Creator, the Creator of all life. And you said that you gave us all in this world everything we needed to survive, but we had to use it in moderation and balance. And Grandfather, We have walked away from those teachings. We have pollution in our rivers and streams and oceans. We have smog in our cities. Help us to come back, Grandfather, and be more aware of what we are doing to our planet. Help us, Grandfather. Help us so that we don't destroy our world and destroy ourselves. Be with us today. Hear our humble prayer. And we thank you, dearly beloved. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Grandmother Agnes. By the way, I wanted to mention that We the World initiated Interdependence Day back in 2002 with an indigenous convocation ceremony at the UN Earth Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa, and then in collaboration with Benjamin Barber and his interdependence movement, we've celebrated Interdependence Day on September 12th each year since. So happy Interdependence Day to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
we feel very interdependent.
Thank you. So, Grandmother Agnes, could you please share your thoughts about the interconnections between all life and Mother Earth? And I know water is a major issue of concern to you that connects us all, and it is a major issue for We the World as well. We did a global water campaign some years ago. Could you please tell us your thoughts about that interconnection and your current work in general?
Oh, thank you, Rick. Well, yes, water is a big concern of mine, has been for many years. And long before I met Dr. Mercer, his research and what he has found about water. But I have been a voice for the voiceless, and so water doesn't have a voice except from us humans. So, and I would like for people to understand that everybody, all humans, water is our first medicine, because we're all born in water and amnio sac in our mama's tummy. And so it's a big concern as I tour the globe about water shortages in different places around the globe and where people have to walk for miles to get good water. And to me, it's a scary thing. Not only is global warming scary, but the water situation, even here on the West Coast, is getting critical. And so I said, how long do you think you can live without water? I think that we begin to talk to water, because water can hear, that we need to start thanking it for our life. Because I believe that hurricanes, tornadoes, and things, water washing up on the land and killing people, is because we're not grateful. We don't talk to the water when we shower. When we drink it, wash your hands, wash your clothes, water our lawn, wash our car, you know, or to cook or flush the toilet. We need to start thanking the water. Just think how long we would live if we didn't have water. And so it's a very crucial thing in all life around the world as I have journeyed the world. And so I pray people will begin to talk to their water inside their body. Because Dr. Emoto, bless his heart, has proven with his medallions how you talk to water with love and compassion, and you freeze it, and it comes out like a beautiful, beautiful snowflake or a little piece of lace. It's beautiful. I have his medallions. And so it's very crucial into my life. I have a concern about the melting of the ice cap, too, that it's melting rapidly. And if it keeps melting at this rate, eventually it's going to be, I think, around 30 feet around the globe and islands, and some people will be completely washed out. And to me, this is a frightening, futuristic look. And so I pray that people will begin to be grateful that they have water to drink, and to consider their life, how long could they live without it. So it's a crucial commodity for us, and to be able to use it in a good way, because like when I was way over in Australia a couple of years ago, They gave me a bottle of water, and I looked at it, and it was Kurt from Mount Shasta, Oregon. And so even over there, they're getting water from over here. And and I believe there's going to be the world will be in a water war. And to me, it's scary what I see. Like some places here in my state of all the rivers and streams and the pollution. I've worked hard and restored the sacred salmon ceremony and did 21 years fighting the dams on these rivers over here, and finally they're all off. And so God has helped us to be able to get those done. And so here in Oregon, the salmon are running wild for the first time in nearly 100 years. And so I'm very, very happy to be able to say that. So I know that the Creator has helped us, and so many people standing up for me guarding water, because our rivers and streams and oceans are not garbage dumps. I believe that people that are in the boats out there in the water should be fined for throwing garbage into the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and streams. They should be fined like people throwing garbage out of a car window. So that we need to clean up our water and keep it good, not only for us humans, but our job as humans is to take care of the habitat of the animal kingdom. Because the Creator came to me years ago and said, I have given you all everything to sustain your life. You need to take care of it, use it in moderation and balance. And we've walked away from those teachings. As I say, we got a hole in the ozone layer. We got pollution in rivers and streams and oceans. And so we've got smog in our cities. We're putting so much cement upon the Earth Mother's face that's causing that. So I believe all of us that are listening can do a better job. The big corporations have got to stop taking off the tops of mountains. They got to stop doing what they're doing without giving input to everybody being able to give input to what they're doing. Because like digging for coal and taking off the top of the mountain, and when they're done, all of that poison and stuff, when it rains, washes down the mountain and gets into other people's waters and streams. There's a lot of things that we can do together, and that is some of the spraying that they're doing. Also the emissions from airplanes and what they're doing to our planet. And the spraying that has to stop. I'm frightened about the bees. I've been fighting for them for a long time to try to get people to stop the spraying, because if they disappear, that's going to really fix our food chain. And so with global warming coming at us to boot, you know, that I believe we could do a better job with these emissions from gas and cars. And the corporate world has to stand with us also to understand what they're doing is damaging our future life for our, like I've got 5 generations, and I would like those little kids to grow up and have good air and good water and be gray-headed like me. So I work hard around the globe trying to get people to listen to what we need to be doing. It's our job as humans to take care of the habitat of the animals and be their voice. And when you pray, to pray for them too, because they too need good water. And without the animal kingdom, spirit world said we cannot live on this planet without them. So I'm always praying for the habitat of our animal kingdom and being their voice. So I hope people will join us today and be that voice for the animal kingdom. It's our job. So I have a lot of concerns about what's going on in our world with the corporations, and I always say the big corporations, don't those people that run that have grandchildren? Wouldn't they want the same thing, good air and good water? Do they check out what they're doing and what the damage is going to cause? I've been working for years, too, to bring back the condors to this state, because they are part of the balance. They were here when I was a little girl. I'll be 91 in a few days, and so I know that The condors need to come back and to fly our beautiful blue skies here in Oregon, and so I need people here to try to help me to get the lead out of bullets, because there's other effective materials that they could use instead of lead, because lead is harmful to the condor. They can get paralyzed and die. If a female eats something that's been shot with a lead bullet, then she's surely paralyzed. And if she lays an egg, the shell is so soft it won't hatch. So I have a big concern about that, and I'm trying to get people to support me on that to get the lead out of bullets. And so to talk to hunters, if they would slowly help us in that manner to have something else besides lead. I'm also concerned about the spraying that's been going on for years and years, and that 2,4-D and tetrazine, how deadly it is. And if it is sprayed and it gets into somebody's water system, it's very frightening, not only for us humans, but for all wildlife. And so we have a job as the two-leggeds, I call us, that we need to do a better job in whatever it is we're doing. And so I pray that no matter what your age, that you could always contribute to something in your community. Look after the elders, because they are your wisdom keepers in any community, in any world. And we need their wisdom. So talk to your elders and guard your elders. Just because we're getting gray-headed, we don't have to be, like I say, put out to pasture. Just because we're getting older, we are knowledgeable. We've lived through a lot throughout the world. And so they are the wisdom keepers. So cherish your elders and guard them and help them and treat them good. And because love is all there is for any of us.
Yeah.
And I pray that I have said something that will help you to join in some of these things to look after our planet. And to do a better job and do the best we can. And also always to thank the veterans of our country and to those that have given their all and have gone on to bless all those people, because they too were some mother's child. And so that we won't have any more wars, and so that our children won't be taught how to kill and to grow up with freedom. And so I pray that people that join me today will help me and help yourself in your community. You can always do something for betterment, not only for the humans, but for all wildlife and for the animal kingdom. If you have love and kindness and compassion in your heart, all that good stuff, then give it away to somebody else. Teach them how love is, that you have gratitude and you're grateful for all life. And I hope I have said something that will encourage and strengthen you to stand up and let your voice be heard. It's like I say, so that your children's children's children can have the benefits that we have here today.
Thank you for giving us the kind of overview of all the areas that you are very concerned about.
Yeah.
Well, you have such spirit and energy at 91 years old. I think you're going much further than people half your age, as far as I can tell. Thank
yeah.
you for that. And
thanks,
I want to bring in Carol now. Carol, before we talk about your film, I was wondering if you could tell people what you did for Sesame Street, since it has become such a well-known program.
Right. Well, it was very interesting. For 43 years, I was married to a man who was also my collaborator. And we never made a plan in our lives, but the universe was always there taking care of us. And I never realized it until maybe 2 years ago, how completely benevolent and caring is the divine intelligence, and brilliant at putting things together. My husband and I in the late 60s, it was, were at a party, and we met a man who was producing a brand new television show that didn't even have a name, and it was for preschool children, and he was telling us about it, and he was saying how difficult it was to find writers who could do things that were appropriate for teaching what they needed to teach. And we went home, my husband and I, we were very fascinated by that, and we started talking about how you would teach it. And we came up with some ideas that excited us, so we called this guy and said, could we try some things out? And he said, by all means. So we wrote a few things for him. One of them was a piece that, if any of you know Sesame Street, it's become a classic. It was One of These Things Is Not Like the Other, which was teaching sorting skills to kids. And he said, come on in, you're hired. At the time, the show didn't even have a name.
Wow.
So when it got its name, they asked my husband, who was a songwriter, a lyricist, if he would write the title lyric. So he wrote the title lyric for Sesame Street, Sunny Days Chasing the Clouds Away, On My Way to Where the Air Is Sweet, Can You Tell Me How to Get to Sesame Street. So,
isn't that wonderful?
So it's a kind of legacy in our lives, you know. Not only does it get played every day, but we get royalties.
That must be very helpful as you're doing other kinds of work. So you produced the film for the next seven generations about the 13 indigenous grandmothers. What moves you to document their important work, and what is the overall message of the film? And what is going on with the 13 indigenous grandmothers now?
Oh, well, that's a challenging question. But I'll start with what brought me to them. And that was that in 1996, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer that had metastasized to my brain. And most of the Western doctors that we talked to didn't even want to treat me. They thought I was just a terminal case. But there was one person who started to treat me, and it didn't work. And lo and behold, as I said, the divine intelligence came in and took me to a woman who was a spiritual teacher and worked with indigenous medicines. And she had a community in Northern California, and she sponsored Native American church meetings, which are healing meetings, in a teepee. And I got connected to her magically, and she offered to sponsor a meeting for me. And I went to that meeting, and it's a 13-hour ceremony. It's really beautiful. It uses a medicine called peyote, which is from a cactus plant, and it's a very powerful healing medicine. And I was healed.
Wow.
It's a 13-hour ceremony. It begins at dusk, and it ends at dawn. And when I came out of the teepee, I felt like every cell in my body had realigned itself. And then the roadman who runs the ceremony came over to me and he said, you're healed. It'll take a while for your body to catch up, but when you go back to New York, which is where I'm from, you mustn't take anything like chemo. You just got to watch and scan yourself and watch the cancer go away. So it took 8 months, but it all went away, and I was cancer-free.
Wow, what a story. Really amazing.
I know. And then a while later, Joe T., who was the woman who had sponsored me for the teepee, had this vision of a circle of grandmothers, indigenous grandmothers. And she was on her way to Africa to visit a grandmother named Bernadette, who had a medicine called Iboga. And she wanted to learn about that. And when she got there, she mentioned to Bernadette that she had this picture in her head that she couldn't shake, which was a circle of indigenous grandmothers, and she didn't know why it was there or what it meant. And Bernadette said, I've been seeing the same thing. We have to make this happen. And so the two of them and another woman who worked with Choti went out to their relatives, other indigenous people they knew, and ultimately found that there were 13 grandmothers, each one of whom had received a message that this was going to happen in one way or another, whether it was our grandmother from Alaska, whose grandmother had told her that there would come a time when she would be asked to join a circle, and that she needed to have 13 eagle feathers and 13 stones, because that she would have to bring them to the ceremony that initiated a gathering of these 13 grandmothers. And it turned out that there were 12 other grandmothers who all received the message that they were to come together to heal the world and to help us to find a sustainable path. And so in 2004, all of the grandmothers met at Menla Mountain Retreat in Phoenicia, New York. And since I was a filmmaker by that time, and since I had what I considered a karmic debt to the grandmothers for their incredible medicine, I wanted to make a film. We thought the film would be, you know, just this one gathering. And they were from around the world, literally Africa, Asia, South America, Central America, and North America. So it was impossible to get their permission before they came. So the first thing that happened when they came to Menla was we all met with them, and I presented and told them that I felt this was an historic occasion, because I don't think it had ever happened that the indigenous people had come together in that way, and that it needed to be filmed, and we needed their permission. And it took a while. I mean, some of them were very uneasy about it. The way that the indigenous people work, that you can't do something like that with a group of people unless there's consensus. It's not a majority wins or anything like that. Everybody has to agree. So I sat there and listened to them talk each other into doing it. There were some grandmothers who were concerned about it, but ultimately they said yes. And I knew that if I was going to do this, I had to be able to get on film their initial meeting. So I had hired a crew, and if the grandmother said no, then I was just going to be responsible to them for 10 days of work. But the grandmother said yes, and they came running in, and we started.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Grandmother Agnes, do you want to say how you started with the 13 grandmothers?
Well, there was a lady that came here from the Center for Sacred Studies, and they said, watched my life here for 4.5 years, and that I had a great concern for the planet and all life, and so that my name came up. And then they finally called me and explained about this vision that these people had. And would I consent to be one of the grandmothers? And took a while to pray about it, and finally I accepted. And when we all gathered in Phoenicia, New York, and all of the concerns that I'd been having in traveling the world, being a voice for the voiceless, was all there. And I thought, I always prayed to have some more voices. And so I was thanking the Creator as I looked around our table in New York, and I was thanking the beloved Creator that I always wanted some more voices. So I was thanking him because I had 12 more voices. And so it was a thing that I think that was came with divine instructions from the spirit world for us to gather like that. And I said it was time, because in the beginning it was a goddess world, and I said then it went patriarchal. Now I think it's slowly turning back to the women. And so I see more and more women encouraged and standing up and being a voice where they live. And so maybe we're slowly turning back to a goddess world. So I think it's not a coincidence that as grandmas came together to encourage all women, you know, to stand up in their communities. And this film really supported that. And so it talks all about the things that we need to be facing in the world and all the crises and everything and how that we collectively can make a difference. And it is happening. Wherever we go, I feel like that we are something from the spirit world that we wouldn't have came about if it wasn't for the Creator had his hands on this whole thing and how great it was accepted around the world. Every place I go, people said, we've seen your DVD. It's so precious having the next seven generations on a DVD. I think we are on the right track because I think the reason why we have wars so much is because in every man there's this feminine consciousness and every woman is the male. And so the men that create these wars are not balanced because the feminine part is not in there for them. And so I pray that as grandmas coming together like this will encourage the men. Already there's a group of thousands of grandfathers called the Mankind that are circling the globe and mentoring young men. And when they called to have me speak to them, I told them that you men are balanced. The feminine part in you is balanced or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. I told them that one of the things they had to admit to before they started their walk around the globe, that it took a woman's body to bring them into this world. And so they all agreed that was true. So I just appreciate what they're doing to help for the balance around the globe. And it's all because of love of each other.
Yep.
And so love is all there is.
I agree. So, you know, I wanted to talk about the current, what some people might call social, environmental, and spiritual crisis that we're facing in the world. Grandmother Agnes, you've been referring to it a bit. But I wanted to mention aspects of the financial system. Recently, I heard someone named Lynn Twist tell an interesting story about traveling with the Pachamama Alliance to visit indigenous peoples in the rainforest in South America. And she said that if a person in the tribe that she visited is seen to be taking more than his share, the elders take him to see the shaman for his health and well-being. I just wanted to contrast that with the situation we find ourselves in. We're living at a time when there are just 85 people in the world who have more wealth than half of humanity put together. That's 3.5 billion people. And yet, even in the wealthiest country, the United States, 16 million children go hungry to sleep every night. And around the world, 15 children die every minute from hunger and preventable disease. This brings up an audience question. We actually have someone who submitted a question. Her name is B. Janali Hunter, PhD. She says, it has been said that the capitalist economic system we have today is destroying the planet. What do you think would motivate the system to accept reduced profits in exchange for planetary survival? She says, what do you see as a way to raise awareness of interdependence, particularly among those who fear that such recognition would cause them unsustainable financial loss? What do you say to Janali?
Well, I think that's the question that we have. And it's the most challenging thing that we can be asked because what we're also experiencing is that these people who have all that money and and are using it as their power are feeling, I think, very threatened by what they feel like is the people becoming more conscious of what's going on. And so they're really trying to work, they're working very hard to maintain their control. For instance, I don't know if people know about it, but there is a trade agreement that is being negotiated, which unfortunately our president is supporting, that would take away all our environmental protections and because they interfere with the profits of the corporate people. And they're working very hard to make that into trade law. But there's also an incredible movement, as Aggie and I and who have been traveling around the world experience. And as you know, Rick, people are coming together more and more, and I think they're becoming more and more aware of not only these issues and the dangers of climate change, but of the fact that we are all connected. We are part of a web of life, and that if we come together, we will be able to open up other people's consciousness and help them to connect with nature and understand that we're all part of this nature and that we're all part of each other. And we're living in a different world now, and it's got a new paradigm, which is the paradigm of quantum physics, which is very different from the old paradigm that we've been working with for the last 200 years, which is a very mechanical world, the Newtonian mechanistic physics. And that was what helped us to get all our technology together. And our technology can now either connect us in a good way or become under the supervision of the people who want all the power. And then we would be eliminated from having a voice. So we have to work on that. And we need to help people to open up to the fact that we are all one. And if we can just trust that there is a divine intelligence in the universe and trust that we are evolving according to the plan of the divine universe, that we will all come together and overwhelm these other forces. And it's happening. I mean, you, Rick, are bringing together not just people, but organizations that are working on these issues. The climate change march that we had last year, how many groups were there working with that?
There were thousands of groups.
And so we're seeing that people are awakening to what's really going on, and they're awakening inside themselves. You know, they're not happy because they're not getting satisfaction from what they were promised they would get satisfaction from, the material world. And so they're looking for other ways, and other ways that you really get satisfaction are to share and to love and to know that we are all one. And people are opening to that, and they're getting very angry at what's being done to them. So I think that we just have to keep pushing that. There is another thing that I'm really pleased about, and I'm sure Aggie knows this too, that the existence of the 13 indigenous grandmothers from the movie inspired another group of grandmothers in the Midwest to model themselves after our grandmothers, and they call themselves Grandmothers Travel the World, I think. And they have been going out and doing what our grandmothers did, and they're going into various countries and helping people in those countries to start grandmothers groups so that around the world, these grandmothers groups that are modeled on the one that we started are appearing, and they're working locally with their people and helping them to do all the things we need to do to save the planet. And they're connected with the UN, so they're part of the UN Council of Women.
Oh, that's great.
These new groups. There's a real grandmother's movement going on. I'm pleased and proud.
Exactly. It's the ripple effect from the work that you're doing, you're both doing. So I want to get back to something that you started mentioning, Carol, this idea that some of us call we consciousness. You know, the strategy of my organization, We the World, and the We campaign is to foster unprecedented cooperation and coordination between the world's transformative grassroots movements, of which you are both a part. The idea is that we can achieve real and lasting change, as well as a cultural and political shift toward we consciousness that prioritizes the common good instead of special interests. So, Grandmother Agnes, what are your thoughts about making this kind of cultural and political shift from I to we?
Well, I think it's got to be that way. We're all in this leaky canoe together. And it's got to be a we thing. Like, recently, over a month ago, I have put 12 of my teachings on a DVD that'll be coming out in November. Much of that we're talking about today is on this DVD. And I have named it Grandmother Says Wake Up World, teaching that we are all one people and that we all want peace in our world and that we're all connected. We are the world. We are peace. We are love. And so we can help support the we question, that we can make a difference if we keep on striving, especially mothers and grandmothers that are the givers of life, that we have this concern for our children to have good water and good air. And so we keep on keeping on and keep asking the Creator to keep our strength up, because we have work to do. And I think that the grandmothers are the wisdom keepers that can make a difference in any community. Mm-hmm. We have a job, each and every one of us, and it just doesn't end today. It goes into the tomorrows and the tomorrows, that we can stand up and continue to be a fighter for our peace in the world and for our love of our world. And for happiness, and I say laughter is our cheapest medicine. We owe it to ourselves to have a good laugh every day, which puts us up in the sunshine belt, I say. And your body heals and your head comes along. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is our gift. And I pray that the gift we're sharing today will be the great thing to connect us all as one.
Before we finish, I want to ask both of you, Carol first, how can people support your work? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, there's a number of ways. We have a website for the grandmothers, which is you can reach by typing in www.forthenext7generations.com, and it's the number 7. And you will get to our website that has everything you would need to know about the grandmothers. And we've been very pleased with the fact that people have ordered and bought, for a reasonable amount of money, the privilege to screen the movie in their communities, where they can then have gatherings afterwards, because it turns out that when people watch the movie, it inspires them and they really need to talk about what they can do next. So if it's done as a community screening, it really can help them. And I'm talking to the grandmothers about other ways of digitally getting the movie out. But I really love the fact that people can screen it for themselves and be all together with their community and then capitalize, unfortunate choice of words, on the effect. of the grandmother's wisdom, because the movie really does share in a very funny way. Actually, the grandmothers are quite funny. And because you mentioned laughter, Aggie,
mm-hmm.
that the two most enlightened people I've ever met were two people with a great sense of humor. One was the Dalai Lama, who is in the movie, by the way, because the grandmothers went to Dharamsala as a group to visit with the Dalai Lama.
Wow.
And Swami Satchidananda, both of whom have really remarkable senses of humor. And when they tell jokes, they laugh more at their own jokes than anybody else. So.
Who was it beside the Dalai Lama?
Swami Satchidananda, who began the integral yoga. Why the laughter is so good is that when you can see that something is funny, you can detach enough from it so that you can see it as what it is. And it's that kind of detachment from our old ways of thinking that are going to allow us to take on these new ways of thinking that will change everything that we do and that will allow us to come from our hearts to our minds, and not vice versa.
Grandmother Agnes, if you would be so kind as to leave us with a prayer for our shared future.
Yes, thank you, Rick. I think that what you have heard from us today will give you support and encouragement and strengthen you to stand up for your environment, where you live. What can you do to help? And to help our children, for they are our future. It's not as adults that own the world, it's the children. And so we, as adults, got to do a better job than what we're doing. Okay, so I want to close now and to thank everybody and Rick and Carol for all their beautiful words, that we could join together, that there's something higher in our head that we can really relate to in a good way. So let us do that right at this moment. Let us set ourselves, take a deep breath, and slowly let it out. Dearly beloved Creator, Creator of all, Creator of the great mystery, God, we thank you for the words that were given today. Please help us, Grandfather, as I know you will, to go to each and every one that has heard our message today. Lift them up and strengthen them and point them in the directions they need to go, Grandfather. Without you, we're nothing. And so we thank you so much for the wisdom we get and its timelessness, and so that we can continue to go international with our words all over the world and to help to care for every life and to help our children to quit dying of hunger, that we need to take responsibility of our children. So help us, Grandfather, as we journey from this moment, and for Rick, what all he's doing, bless Carol, too, over there in New York. Grandfather, we pray, we thank them for all that they have helped and with their generous hearts, and all of you out there that are listening, thank you for joining us, and continue to help in any way you can for our universe. It is our job. And Grandfather, we thank you for hearing our humble prayer. Amen. 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 Thank you both.
Well, thank you.
Om Mataki Ayasin, which is the grandmother's salutation. It means we are all related.
Thank you so much, Grandmother Agnes Pilgrim and Carol Hart.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rick, for initiating everything and for all that you do in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd also like to thank Kaiza Tarvo and the Shift Network team. And thank you all for listening. I hope you will join us for the next session and all the sessions of the 11 Days of Global Unity Summit. You can reach me, Rick Ulfick, and We the World at we.net, we.net. Let's expand we so much that there is no longer any them. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Summer of Peace, brought to you by the Shift Network. For more information about joining our global community dedicated to helping people awaken to their divine humanity and take inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. To learn more about the Summer of Peace and the World Peace Library, visit summerofpeace.net. Thank you for sharing this summit with your friends and family. We appreciate your dedicated support.